Welcome to The Lobbying Show, a podcast about the people in government relations, how they got into it, what their jobs entail, what works, and what doesn't. I'm your host, Jim O'Brien. Today we are having our first pre-intro because of the coronavirus. We wanted to let you know that this episode and the next few episodes were recorded prior to the coronavirus becoming the pandemic that it is. And so we wanted to let you know that, which is why it's not mentioned during the interview. And also to wish everyone the best and to stay healthy and to practice the social distancing that we've been advised to do. And we hope everyone is staying healthy as best they can. Schools and state capitals are closing across the country, and sports leagues have canceled their seasons. And Washington is dealing with the next package of the coronavirus. And so we hope everyone is staying healthy. It feels a bit odd to be airing a podcast that has really nothing to do with the coronavirus at this time. At the same time, people may be home and looking for a distraction or something to do. So we will continue to air these podcasts and our episodes going forward. So we hope everyone stays healthy and safe, and we wish you all the best. Welcome back to another episode of The Lobbying Show. Today we come to you again from Washington, D.C. We are again at the Denton's headquarters at 19th and K. It's a very convenient place to interview lobbyists and government relation people. It's right at the heart of the lobbying corridor. And today we are sitting down with David London. David is the Vice President for State Policy and Politics of TechNet. You may remember we interviewed, we had another guest from TechNet, Christina Fisher. And that went so well that TechNet, we spoke and decided to sit down with somebody else. So we're moving our way up the food chain. And today we sit down with David. David, welcome to The Lobbying Show.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
It's great to be here. We were just talking football. David is a Redskins fan and is a little bit... It's been a long time.
It's been a long time
since the Redskins have been competitive, and we were talking about how your friend Tom Mantas is a Redskins fan with you, and we've had Tom on the show, and he has that very interesting that jobs list that people look to for opportunities on the Hill.
Tom is great with that. Yep.
And so, David, you've been in the business a while. So did you get your start at the Maryland State House? Is that where it all began for you?
Yeah. Yeah, it started there. I started working with the Democratic Party in Annapolis around the mid-90s. And then after that, I joined the State House and worked for Senator Yulee Curry. Unfortunately, he just passed away last month. And but a great experience working with him in his district, 25th District of Maryland. It was great.
I'm sorry to hear that. Did you grow up in Maryland?
Yeah. I am a native Washingtonian, one of those rare breeds. Yes, I am a native Washingtonian. I was born in D.C. and grew up in Silver Spring, Maryland.
Okay.
Yeah.
And as they say in Maryland, where'd you go to high school? Isn't that the question they always ask Maryland?
Oh, yeah. Paint Branch High School, Fighting Panthers. Oh, yeah.
All right. The Fighting Panthers. So what was your first job in politics or government?
Yeah, so my first job was actually working for former state's attorney Alexander Williams Jr. for Prince George's County. I started out right after college, and I was a community organizer for him. So it was at the time he became the first district attorney or state's attorney in Prince George's County. And so I worked a lot of things for him. I worked with the school district. I worked with local community groups and really trying to expose him out there to the community, making sure that he was in touch with the community of Prince George's County. It was a fun 3 years working for him. Man, I greatly admire.
And then what'd you do after that?
Then I joined the Maryland Democratic Party. I worked there for almost a year. And then that's when I joined the State House, and I worked for Senator Curry for a little bit over a year for Senator Curry. But something happened in the mid-90s, and it was that little thing called the internet boom started happening. And I really got into it and started researching a lot of companies such as Yahoo. And back in those days, it was Netscape and AOL. And I never forget, I went into Senator Curry's office, and I told him, Yulee, I love you, but I'm going to be leaving this office within the next 6 months, moving to California.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, wait, let's back up a second. So what did you do for the state party?
Yeah, so I was just outreach coordinator. So I helped out with the Young Dems and other outreach groups in the state of Maryland as well. Yeah.
And so probably through that job, you probably met a lot of people working at State House who you hadn't had prior exposure to.
Oh, yeah.
And that's how you met the senator, you said?
Yeah. Actually, I've known Yulee. I knew him for a few years before that.
Okay.
But yeah, so everybody sort of networked, as you know, in Annapolis. And so I got to know him pretty well. And he took me away from the party, and it was great. It was a fun time working with him.
And how long did you work for the senator?
Gosh, maybe about a year, a little over a year. I would say. Yeah.
And it was great. Then from there, you went to California.
Yeah, I went to California. I packed up my bags and headed west, young man. Yeah.
That was very smart. What year was that?
This was in 1997, December.
Wow. So I packed you were up ahead of the curve.
Yeah, it was a blast. You know, it was one of those things. I talked to my mom, I would talk to my other relatives, and said, you know what, you get these chances once in life, might as well do it. You know, I had no obligations, and so I headed west, and it was fun.
Now, before we head west, what was your experience when you were working for the senator with lobbyists? Did you have you must have had some exposure to them coming in and trying to convince you of certain working on their for their clients?
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, I got a chance to know the whole lobbying community there in Annapolis, you know, in the mid-90s. And it was great, you know, because a lot of them, you know, were really good lobbyists and, you know, just good people and good mentors in a couple of cases. And so it was really helpful to me. That's sort of where I grew, you know, understanding inside the house and outside of the house. And it was just great. And it was a great experience. And so, yeah.
And what was your first job in California?
First job was working for the Valley Transportation Authority, VTA. So it was like a temp job, you know, that I wanted to get myself transitioned to California. So I was working on this project called...
Wait, can I interrupt you for a second?
Yeah,
so did you go to California with no job?
Oh, no, I actually landed it before I headed out there. I was making tons of trips back and forth, you know, between California. So I was fortunate enough to land this job.
Okay, so you have a job. You're out there. Go ahead.
Yes. Oh, no problem. So I headed out there, and I had the job working for Valley Transportation Authority, or VTA, which is the local transportation company out there. They were building a new light rail line in the north part of San Jose. And so I went out there and did community outreach and marketing. It was sort of like one of those good jobs to sort of settle myself into California for a couple of years. And it was fun. We built that light rail line, and I did a lot of community outreach, which is sort of my specialty back then, and it was great.
So similar to the first job you had working for the district attorney here out of college.
Yeah, exactly.
Similar type of outreach.
Exactly. That's exactly what it was. And I didn't know the community, obviously. It was California, Silicon Valley. And, you know, I really got a quick baptism about
it. And it was a new rail line?
Yeah, brand new rail line, Tasman West rail line, which connected basically San Jose all the way out to Mountain View.
Okay. Yeah. And how long were you there for?
Gosh, I was there for 2 years.
Okay.
2 years, yeah.
And then what?
And then I was networking like a mad kid, you know, and trying to get into the tech world.
Yep.
And I found somebody that I knew at Cisco Systems, and I was able to land a job at Cisco Systems in late 1999. And this was in customer advocacy. And so I worked on the customer advocacy team. And that was a fun gig for about 2 years or so. And it was great because I wanted to get my foot in the door. And as you recall, back then, there weren't a lot of lobbyists in tech, you know, but I knew the head, the vice president of Cisco's government relations team, government affairs team, that is. And so we were networking even while I was working in customer advocacy, and things eventually popped up.
And even when you were in the customer service role, you knew that you wanted to get over to the government relations side?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. That was always my goal going out to California, was doing that.
And then when you made it to the government relations team at Cisco, what were your responsibilities?
Yeah, so at first I managed California and the western states. And so I was responsible for, you know, all of our policy issues in California. So I spent a lot of time in Sacramento. I also worked with the local government there in San Jose because we were at that time Cisco. I think Cisco still is the largest employer in the city of San Jose. So I worked with the local government, the mayor's office, the city council, and then also in the legislature there in Sacramento. And that really was my baptism in getting to know California politics, and it was great.
So were you the first person to have that job for Cisco?
No, there was somebody else that was heading upstate, and I worked for her for a couple of years. And then we had a VP, and then we had a DC office as well.
Okay, so yeah. she used to handle California before you.
Yeah.
The only reason I ask is, here you are, you know, just starting off in government relations, and they're like, okay, which state should we give David? Let's give him California. Yeah. I mean, it seems like, I mean, it's just incredible.
Yeah.
What was it like your first day heading up to the state capitol in Sacramento? Do you remember?
I vaguely remember. You know, I do remember this. I don't remember the exact day, but I do remember my experience going up there at first. I mean, I didn't know anybody. And so the good news was is that we did have a lobbyist, and so I was able to work with that person, made me a lot of good introductions. But it was me getting to know the folks there in Sacramento myself. And so it was great. I mean, it's literally a two-hour drive from the Bay or South Bay up to Sacramento, and I had an opportunity to just really get to know folks up there. So I spent a lot of time in the Capitol.
So you'd make a lot of day trips.
Yes, a whole lot of day trips up there. It was great.
And do you remember who was your lobbyist back then?
Gosh, who was it? I think it was Terry Thomas was our lobbyist. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And do you remember what the issues you were working on at the time?
Yeah, I mean, two big issues that we dealt with, you know, security breach. That was back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was the big issue, you know, in the early 2000s. Now Congressmember Jackie Spears bill, you know, was the big piece that we were all, you know, gathered around and dealing with. And then also to issues such as protective orders. And so basically the consumer attorneys of California were always trying to get at some of our intellectual property, and so there was always bills that we were fighting back then, trying to protect our intellectual property. And so, yeah, it was the big battles we had back then.
Did you find was the learning curve understanding the issues for Cisco? Did that take a while, or was that kind of not kind of easy, or how was that?
Yeah, it was a pretty good transition. You know, Cisco at that time was really talking about, it's so funny to talk about it now, but broadband deployment was the big thing for Cisco back then. You know, and so our CEO, John Chambers, and everybody right on down was always talking about broadband deployment. And so partly what I would do is talk to the state of California about broadband deployment. How do we get that last mile out there for the rural areas, et cetera? And so it was really a great mission, you know. So the issues weren't that hard, but they were fun. I mean, it was just at the time, everything was changing. You remember the early 2000s, you know, we got past Y2K and just everybody
right,
wanted to spike up.
Y2K.
Yeah, remember that? Those
oh,
days?
Yeah. The world's going to come to an end.
Exactly.
I landed with a dud.
Yeah.
And I bet the learning curve at the state capitol must have been just a big one.
Yeah, that definitely was. And just getting to know folks.
Getting to know the players, the committees.
Yeah, getting to know the committees, getting to know the players, getting to know the governor's office, you know, it was pretty crazy times. I mean, it was 2003, I believe it was, is when the recall came up as well. And so that was
the governor's race?
Yeah, that was an interesting time to be part of that whole situation. So, yeah, it was a lot of change in California at that time.
And what other states did you have to oversee?
Also oversaw the whole West, and so everything west of the Mississippi.
So a lot of traveling between all those state capitals?
Not that much at that time. We really focused, I mean, 90% of my time was spent in California.
California.
But if anything happened, you know, at that time, Cisco had operations all across the United States, and so if something happened in one of our locations there, if I could be helpful, or if we had an event or whatever, I would sort of support that. But generally, California was where it was for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what was your next job after that?
In 2005, I joined eBay. And
okay.
So, yeah, my former boss at Cisco left to join eBay, and then 6 months later, she brought me to eBay with her. So it was great. Yeah, so I loved it. It was at eBay and doing California and Western states again.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
And you were at eBay for a while.
Yeah, 12 years. 12 years at eBay. Multiple positions at eBay, but yeah, 12 years at that great company.
And then what were some, do you remember some of the issues or the battles that you had in eBay that took up a lot of your time?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the big issues, it's so funny to look back now, but the issues we had to deal with were issues such as pawn broker regulations. You know, a lot of people forget, I don't know if you remember the movie, what was the movie with 40-year-old version?
Yes. And she ran an eBay store.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. An eBay store. And so when you think about it, back then, you know, a lot of folks didn't want to, you know, go and sell things, products on their own online. So sometimes they would bring them to these eBay stores, you know, and sell them, you know, on behalf of the individual and take a, you know, small percentage of the final value of the sale. And so pawnbrokers wanted to regulate those stores just like pawn shops, you know. And so we were dealing with bills, you know, and the legislature was trying to do that. Also, too, auction auctioneering bills. I mean, it's so funny to look back at it now, but auctioneers wanted to sort of regulate eBay, because remember, back then, it was a lot of auctions on the eBay site, and they wanted to regulate our eBay sellers as licensed auctioneers, that they would actually have to do everything from hygiene tests to all the types of crazy things that you need to be an auctioneer in the individual state. So we kind of considered ourselves as the starter of the disruption, you know, of technology, and it was just a lot of fun, you know, a lot of cutting-edge issues, and just really trying to educate policymakers about what eBay was, what e-commerce is, and where it was going at that time.
And I think they used to have brokers that you could buy and sell things through in case you didn't want to do it directly or something.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what they were. Trading assistants, we called them. Trading assistants would help you sell your product, whether it be in an eBay drop-off store or whether it be just themselves running their own small business. And that's one of the great things about eBay, is it just gave you the opportunity to really connect with small businesses, because eBay was fueled and still is fueled to this day by small businesses who sell on the platform. Which is great.
And free up all that capital that people had sitting around their homes and goods.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's just incredible.
Yeah, it's great.
So you spent all your time at eBay in that job, overseeing California and the Western states?
Yeah, on multiple jobs. So I started with California and the Western states.
Okay.
And then I started managing the whole country at that time. And then
so you oversaw state policy for eBay for the entire country?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So I managed the team at that time for all of eBay's public policy team. And it wasn't just eBay. So eBay, we had a portfolio of companies at that time. So we had eBay, obviously, as the parent company. We also had PayPal. And we also had StubHub. And so we had a lot of different brands underneath the eBay umbrella. And so I managed the state government relations program, you know, at eBay at that time.
Well, and you must have had lobbyists in how many state capitals?
Well, at the top, we had at the highest, and I think this was around 2006, 2007-ish, we had about 25 lobbyists at the top.
Okay.
As probably the last 10 years or the last latter part of my time at eBay, we were down to maybe like 6 or 7 across the country. They may have a few more now. I'm not sure. But yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And since then, PayPal and eBay have split and gone in different directions,
yeah,
or spun off, whatever, I don't know what the terminology is.
Spun off 5 years ago, yeah.
Yep, and then StubHub also?
StubHub recently, I believe, so I don't know if it's been finalized, but yes, they are also being spun off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when did you leave eBay?
I left eBay 3 years ago.
Okay.
3 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And came to TechNet?
Yeah, no, actually, before TechNet, I worked for a small startup called Ofo.
Oh, yeah. So you must know Dusty Brighton.
Oh, yeah, Dusty was on my team. Yes.
Dusty Dusty has been a guest on this show, and you know, he's kind of stuffy. You know, he's kind of he's not that friendly, not that engaging.
You know, he's just very much inward. You know,
yes,
type of person,
very
you know?
Formal.
Yes, exactly.
Yes,
you know? He doesn't have any sense of humor. Right?
No, it's I think he's the kind of person that wears a tie when he mows his lawn. You know, we had Dusty. Well, as soon as you said Ofo, I'm like, oh, Dusty. Yes. Yeah. You know about half of our guests. And so that that was a great opportunity that didn't turn out so great.
Yeah. But it was probably the most exhilarating 10 months that I ever spent in any job that I've had. It was just
so
crazy.
I bet most of our listeners are probably not familiar with the company or what happened. So mm-hmm. Why don't you just give them an overview?
Yeah. So Ofo was a dockless bike share company, a Chinese-based dockless bike share company, which came on the scene a few years ago, and that was before the sort of the scooter revolution. And so what they were trying to do was set up bikes and dockless bikes all across the country. And so what I was responsible for was managing the North America team, and so going into cities, working with elected officials, working with local community groups, and trying to get bikes onto the street for consumers that were in those particular cities or jurisdictions. So yeah.
Okay. And then where, I'm trying to remember, where were you based? Where was Ofo based?
Ofo was based in China, but our U.S. headquarters was in San Francisco, and I was based here in D.C.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And then that, they went bankrupt or whatever happened after a year or so.
It didn't last. I think they were really slow. I should say we were really slow to getting product to out there to consumers. And there were a lot of issues back in China with financing, et cetera. So it was the last 2 months were tough, really tough, you know, for a lot of our folks. But I'm happy to say that everyone that was on my team, and I had a team of 12 individuals, everybody is gainfully employed now and doing really, really well, including Dusty.
And so did you recruit those 12 people to the team?
Yeah.
And boy, that must have been hard for you that last 2 months as you knew you were closing up shop and having to let these 12 people go that you brought on and trying to help them land on their feet?
Yeah, it was the hardest thing I had to do professionally, without a doubt. And, you know, they always say, you know, treat people like you'd want to be treated. And, you know, the team, it was a tough time. But they're all of them are doing really well now. I mean, they're at companies such as Lyft, you know, they're at, you know, some other startups such as Bird and Lime Bike. You know, they're all doing really, really well. And Dusty, obviously, is doing well as well.
Yep. Well, I think it says a lot about you, the fact that those, I mean, I know a few of the people that you're talking about, and the fact that those people decide to leave their jobs and join you, David, I think says an enormous amount about you.
Thank you.
That's because there was a lot. And the other thing, too, is that it was nothing to do with the team here as to why what happened. I mean, there was a lot of excitement around it. And the credit to you guys for taking the chance.
Thank you. Yeah, it was definitely not the work of the team. I mean, the cities that we opened up, over 30 different markets, you know, in that short period of time. I mean, the team was kicking tail from coast to coast, you know, and working with elected officials. And it was just great. Yeah.
And so now we're at TechNet.
Yes.
So who recruited you to, how'd you end up at TechNet?
Well, I know Linda Moore, who's the president and CEO of TechNet. I knew her, obviously, when I was at eBay, because actually we were members and still members of TechNet. And so I knew Linda. I saw the job opening a little bit before we knew we were going to close up shop, you know, at OFO. We got to talking for a little bit and, you know, things worked out.
And so you're overseeing state policy for the entire U.S. for TechNet?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. And politics.
Yes.
So that was the part I was going to ask you about. What does that entail?
So that is, we do have a one of the few trade associations on the technology side that has a state PAC, political action committee. And so that's one of the things that we focus in on. It's mostly used for California policy, our politicians and elected officials. And so we try to, you know, work the PAC. And so that's the politics portion of kind of what we do.
Okay. Tell us about TechNet a little bit, because I know a lot of our listeners will get, you know, they kind of all morph together. Tell us what TechNet, about the organization and about your mission.
Yeah, definitely. So TechNet is a trade association that represents the innovation economy. So if you think about companies such as, you know, as big as Google, right on down, you know, to the DoorDashes of the world and to multiple companies in between. And so what we do is represent them in state capitals all across the country, also here in Washington, D.C. as well on the federal side, and trying to make sure that their interests are taken care of and the policy makers understand the critical issues that are changing our times in the innovation economy. And so it's really about educating policymakers, getting them to understand the issues that we're dealing with. And our issues run the gamut. It's everything from issues such as privacy to workforce to education to autonomous vehicle regulation to peer-to-peer car sharing, you name it. If you think of a tech issue, we're probably tackling it right now.
Well, you're going to have a busy year. I mean, just two of those issues, privacy and autonomous vehicles. I mean, privacy is probably going to be taken up in, dozens of state capitals.
Yeah, exactly. It was over 24 states dealt with consumer privacy last year. And this year already we're dealing with privacy, you know, to Virginia, to Washington State, to Illinois, and a bunch of other states are going to be introducing privacy in the coming weeks.
So, David, across the country, you know, Sacramento, Austin, you know, Boston, some of the other cities. What's going on in some of those high profile capitals?
Yeah, well, I guess the question would be, what isn't happening in those capitals? We have, you know, on the team, we have, you know, five what we call executive directors. Christina Fisher, as you mentioned, you know, was here with you as well. She manages the Northeast. She's based out of Boston. Then we have executive directors in Austin, Texas, as you mentioned, Sacramento, California, Springfield, Illinois, and Olympia, Washington. And I would say of all the states right now, as we're currently speaking, Washington State is dealt with a lot of different issues in a short period of time. They're in Olympia. They're a 60-day session this year. So, and also it's an election year, so a lot is happening there in Olympia. And so from issues such as privacy to autonomous vehicles to facial recognition, et cetera, our person there in Olympia is doing a great job. Samantha Kershaw is doing a stand-up job, and she's brand new, and she's literally tackling this stuff on a daily basis right now and doing a great job of representing.
Where was Samantha before she joined TechNet?
Yeah, she was with the Washington State Dems, Senate Dems.
Okay. Great. And when does that session end?
Probably another, I think, 40-something days.
Okay.
I mean, Sam could probably tell you exactly.
They're about halfway through.
Yeah,
all
exactly.
Right. Hang in there, Samantha.
Yes.
And then, and so all, so those five regional, you said five, they all report to you?
Yes, they do. Mm-hmm.
And then, so that helps you oversee the country?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they do, this is the, as you know, the nuts and bolts of what's happening right now. I mean, the team is really entrenched in a lot of different issues in all the state capitals. And not just the state capitals where they're actually based in, but also to other states as well. So we do, so they do everything from lobby days. Matter of fact, we have our first lobby day of the year, which will be taking place next week in Tallahassee, Florida. So I'll be going down there to do that with the team. And so we have, you know, a lot of member companies have already signed up for those. And what the lobby days are doing, it allows our members to come to the state capitol, and we go and meet with members, you know, throughout the day and talk about issues that are important to our membership, educate them, and then talk about those issues and making sure that they understand where we're coming from, and vice versa as well, because it's a two-way conversation. We also want to get a good sense of what their priorities are and see if we can sort of help them out as well. And so it's really a great opportunity for them to learn about our industry and also to for us to learn about them and their priorities.
And David, who's your person that oversees Florida for you, Tallahassee?
Oh, yeah, that's David Edmondson. He's our executive director for Texas and the Southeast.
Okay, yeah. So he's based in Texas and oversees that
the part whole of the Southeast, country. Exactly.
Okay. And so getting back to, or just when does the when does the California session end?
September.
All right, yeah. So you got a ways to go.
Yeah, so Courtney Jensen, who's our executive director for California in the Southwest, is managing that piece, you know, great. I mean, she's doing an awesome job. As a matter of fact, she joined TechNet literally, I think, about a month after I joined. She was my first hire at TechNet, and she's doing a great job there.
And how many members do you have at TechNet?
We have a little over 80 members now.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. And is TechNet the main office based here in D.C.?
Yeah, our main office is in D.C. And like I mentioned, there's the five regional offices around the country. And then also we have, you know, presence in Santa Clara, California.
Okay. How is it being the difference between running state policy for an association versus a company like eBay?
Mm. I think at a company like eBay, you know, we have, you know, a lot of issues when I was there that we had to cover. But really, we were experts in like two or three issues. You know, for eBay at that time, it was internet sales tax. And so we became experts in those particular issues. At TechNet, you just have to understand a lot about a lot of different issues. And so, you know, from everything from autonomous vehicle regulation to privacy to the future of work to artificial intelligence, you name it. So we have to be well-versed in most of those issues, you know, and be able to articulate those on behalf of our membership. So it's just a lot. Yes,
nimble is a definite job requirement.
No doubt about that. No doubt about that.
David, how many people here in the DC office?
So we have 8 people.
Okay.
In our DC office, and so our CEO's here. We have our federal team that's here. We have our communications team that's here, and yeah, myself and one other person on the state team right here.
And David, do you have any volunteer activities that you keep you busy?
Yeah, I mean, one of them is probably one of the most fun things that I do is I serve on the Shenandoah National Park Trust Board of Trustees. Shenandoah National Park is about you know 90 minutes outside of Washington, D.C., one of the crown jewel national parks. And so about 3 years ago, I was approached by the trust to serve on the Board of Trustees. And so for me, I've been going to that park since I was a little boy. And so I love hiking. Hiking is probably my biggest hobby. And I just love the park, and we do things such is trail preservation, help out with cabin restoration as well, and all types of things, wildlife protection. So it's a great opportunity for me to sort of give back to the park that I love.
And how did you become such a lover of hiking?
Yeah, ever since I was a little boy, I just love nature and I love wildlife, and I always loved just to get out. And I think it sort of just became, you know, something I just love to do throughout the years. And so I've hiked everywhere from the Rockies over to the Sierra Nevadas in California, and then obviously here in the Appalachians as well. And so I just love hiking. I love mountains. I love just going up as high as I can, you know, in the mountains, and just it's just exhilarating.
Well, I think that will be good training for the year you're going to face ahead, climbing a lot of mountains. David, it has been great to have you on the show. Great to meet you. Sorry about your Redskins. Look, you know, they can only improve. You know, I'm a Giants fan, so we're a little bit in the same boat here.
There's only one way, and that's up.
There's only one way is up. Anyway, it's been great to have you on the show, and thank you for coming by.
Thank you very much.
Well, there it is, another episode of The Lobbying Show. David, thank you for coming by. Great guy. Great to learn about TechNet. Just really wonderful, wonderful to sit down with him. And if you haven't already, you can subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to them. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. And don't forget to sign up for our Monday morning email, Coffee with the Lobbying Show. You can do that at our website, lobbyingshow.com. So I hope you enjoyed the episode. Have a great week and see you next Monday.